Well, we have a special privilege this morning because we have missionaries up in Alaska, the Clarks, and we've been very much a part of their ministry ever since it started back in 2004. And they're ministering in a very difficult place. It's a small place. There's not a lot of people. And the hearts of the people are very much ingrained in their traditions. And so to minister to them, to share Christ with them, to pull them out of their traditions and their ancient myths and all those different things is very difficult. But it's been exciting to see Mike and Jeanette and their faithfulness to the Lord. And it's been exciting to see what the Lord has done. They have an aviation ministry, and so they have an airplane. They fly around, and I've flown in the airplane, and it's scary. And it's not because it's not airworthy. It's just because it's a little plane. And when you're flying through the mountains, I mean, the plane is really small. And one of the things that we prayed for a long time is that God would bless them with a hangar so that in the winter they could have a place to store the plane, keep it safe, and be able to work on it. And so one of the things we're going to see is the hangar completed and different things about that. And then they're going to minister us. He's going to share the word of God with us. Now, remember, missionaries are usually not trained in videography. So just be patient, because some of the videos, for some whatever reason, they start off really quiet and then they get really loud. So if you're like, I can't hear it, just be patient. It will come. But anyways, we're going to just turn it over and allow the Clarks to minister to us now.
We just praise the Lord for this new facility. I want to thank each one of you for your part in prayer and giving that the Lord used to bring this to fruition. And we're just so thankful as we've just gone through our first winter. Even though aviation outreach ministry has been at a pretty much standstill with the coronavirus, and not being able to go to the villages, we did enjoy the blessing of a hangar, being able to catch up on some maintenance issues with the airplane, getting some things fixed, even working on our own cars and vehicles and getting everything up and running. And just having a place to come and do that maintenance has been such a huge blessing. As you can see, we have airplanes in here that are not part of Baptist Missions. This is the mission plane here, but the other ones in here are renting space from us, which makes it affordable to have this hangar and pay for the electric and oil bills. And so we're just thankful also that the Lord's provided these renters, who are believers as well, so that's even a greater blessing. But having them in here to help out with the bills has been great. We also look forward to future ministries where this hangar is going to be very instrumental in making that more efficient and practical in the outreach ministry. We did just get permission from one of the villages to return there and start doing services in Leavelock. And so we're looking forward to getting back to Leavelock And we're also looking forward to further down the road of getting into more villages and some team members that were looking forward to arriving on the field. It's a ways off, but we just know that the Lord is going to use this hangar not just in the Clark's ministry, but in years to come. And so we are so thankful for what he has done here in Eliana with this hangar.
Yeah, hi again. We just wanted to share a little bit about what's going on right now. First of all, I just want to thank you once again. We really appreciate Soap Lake Baptist Church. And, you know, I don't say that just because you're one of our supporting churches. I believe you are a mission-minded church. And how do I know that? Well, you stay connected. You stay involved with your missionaries. And over the years, we've experienced that involvement in many ways. The answers to your prayers, we've seen your financial support, your visit from your pastor and his wife, and here in Alaska, that was a special blessing. Even this request for a video to share what's going on in the ministry here, what a great idea. Well, let me just update you on what's going on here. What can I say? It's 2020, right? Well, I know it's been a crazy year for everyone, and it's not over yet, but I know no matter what's going on around us, no matter what challenges we face, one thing is for sure, and that is the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still great, and he has a great commission for us to follow. Well, we continue to serve the Lord here in Eliamna with a Sunday worship service. Also, we have midweek men and women's Bible studies and one-on-one discipleship. We have seen some great victories as well as challenges throughout this year. Unfortunately, we have seen lower numbers in our Sunday services. Several are still hesitant to come back to church and have stayed away really since last March out of fear for this virus. We have tried to reach out to these and minister to those, even though they are not attending, but that has been difficult. One thing we have noticed is that our core group has grown stronger in unity and even spiritually during this challenging time. Our midweek Bible studies are also going well, but as well, those numbers are lower also, but we are thankful for those who attend faithfully. And again, we've been excited to see growth in those who are attending. So very thankful for those blessings. Jeanette's going to share with you now a little bit about our children's ministries.
Hello, First Baptist Church family. I just wanted to share a little bit with you about our children's ministries. This summer, we had to change up our vacation Bible school, and we were able to do a virtual VBS. I'm sure you saw pictures and read about that in our newsletter. It was successful, and we're just thankful for different contacts made and all the kids that participated. One woman we mentioned was a grandmother who watched the video with her grandkids and was able to do a Bible study with her. She is growing in her faith, and God's working in her life, and it's been exciting to see her sharing that faith with her family and with our community. So that's one really encouraging outcome. We have not been able to start our weekly kids club. Families are hesitant and leery of sending their kids with the possibility of the virus. So pray that we have wisdom as we consider when to start that up again. Last week, our school district canceled all sports for the rest of the year, it seems. And yesterday, we just had our first COVID positive case. So this presents a lot of challenges. There'll be no community events, ball games, fundraisers, and all those activities that bring families and our community together through the winter months. You know, those won't be happening. So please just pray for us. It's disorienting, and it makes you kind of wonder what will ministry look like going through the winter. So we just need your prayers for wisdom and encouragement and just physically too, being inside more and not being around everybody like we're used to. So thank you for your prayers and all the ways that you've encouraged us, and you're a blessing. Thank you.
So again, yeah, I wanted to also share about some of the dynamics with other villages right now. And as far as Aviation Village outreach goes, that also has been very limited. The villages are effectively closed to being able to travel into them right now. And, you know, so we haven't really been able to get out much. We're waiting for that to open up and where we can resume some of our aviation outreach ministry. I have been busy and will be busy during this winter and this downtime to catch up on further work on the hangar, as well as maintenance issues on the mission plane that need to be addressed. I've also been working with our mission on a strategic plan and vision for ministry in remote Alaska. We look forward to sharing more of those details with you in the future as it develops. I can say, however, that it basically involves Iliamna as a hub to reach out to hundreds of potential remote villages in the area in need of the gospel. And this is one of the main reasons for our efforts in recruiting team members and the construction of the hangar that we've been blessed with. So we're definitely making progress towards that goal. Praise the Lord. We've also been busy recruiting other team members, and the Lord seems to be going before us in this area. We have one couple, Aaron and Rachel Houts, who are in the application process with Baptist Admissions and are working on finishing up college and getting ready to start their preparation to join us here on the field. So please pray as they continue to prepare, be a couple years out, but we look forward to that. It's also encouraging to see a couple other young couples who have been interested in inquiring into the work here. So we have a lot of blessings in that area, and God is at work. Just continue to pray for those as we try to build the team here in Iliamna. You know, we have a lot of blessings, but also, like many others, there's a lot of challenges. And as I said, it's been a crazy year so far, and it's not over yet. The church has faced challenges in the U.S. for many years. In the village, it seems more magnified since we're dealing with a small group of people with such a sensitive issue. Remember, living in the bush is a lot like living on a small island. I mean, you could kind of think about that in light of our current situation. So it's a very sensitive issue. We're trying to be sensitive towards local communities as well. Well, you may ask, what do we need? And you actually have asked that. We really appreciate your prayers in that area. But what can you pray for? What specific things can you pray for? Well, you know, I could think of a lot of things. No, not a new airplane. Well, not yet anyway. But in light of the challenging year, really, and the daunting task ahead, how about strength, wisdom, and a lot of courage? Well, I wanted to share with you a source that has helped me to find those things, especially courage. I mean, why do we need all those things? Why do we need strength? Why do we need wisdom and courage? Well, we see all that's going on around us, the fear that so many Christians have, and this virus, the unstable economy, the increasingly unstable government. And, you know, and as believers, we know that the Lord is in control and has a perfect plan even in the midst of all this. And we also should be reminded, though, that there is a spiritual battle taking place. Ephesians chapter 6 is clear that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but we fight a spiritual battle. We don't always see that battle. Instead, we see fear of a virus. We see quarreling and division among God's church. We see depression. We see suicide. We see alcoholism and drug abuse. We see domestic violence. But really, this is a spiritual battle, one that is so much bigger than us, and an enemy that is more powerful than we are.
But we should take courage. Why? Because we can rely on the same truth that the Apostle Paul did, and that's where I find my source of strength. It is in God's Word, and specifically 2 Timothy 1:12, very encouraging verse that we can read. It says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." We see Paul's exhortation of to Timothy to be courageous in the midst of persecution from Rome, and along with a troubling ministry going on in a very divisive Ephesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, after Paul reminds Timothy of his great love and spiritual connection to Tim's family in verses 3 through 5, Paul exhorts Timothy to strengthen his relationship with Christ by ministering with his gifts and depending on God's resources. We see that in verses 6 and 7. Paul also motivates Timothy in verses 8 through 11 by asking him not to be ashamed of Christ or of Paul himself, but by trusting in the power of the gospel to transform lives. So encouraging to us, that the whole passage, really, I mean, because that's what we trust in as we minister here at Ileana. We trust in the power of the gospel, not our own abilities. But then in verse 12 through 14, Paul continues to exhort Timothy to place his confidence in Christ and his confidence in God's word in order to grow courageous. Paul challenges Timothy to develop the convictions required for this courageous ministry. In order to stand courageously for Christ when it really counts, Paul says there in verse 12 again, that he says, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." In these verses, Paul encourages Timothy to develop the convictions required for a courageous ministry. Why do we need confidence and courage? We need confidence and courage in the face of adversity. There's always adversity, there's always obstacles, there's always an enemy that is trying to stop the effort of the spreading of God's word. But we see here the Apostle Paul continues to exhort Timothy to be courageous. First of all, he starts off in verse 12 there. He gives the I. He says, and that tells us who he's talking about. He says, Paul have suffered. So this tells us it's not just a battle raging around us. It is personal. Even the Apostle Paul, in all his spiritual stature, suffered the same way that we suffer in this day-to-day life and battle. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have been persecuted in the same way Paul was by being stoned or beaten or thrown in prison. But I am saying that as believers, the attack is against you personally, not just some vague notion of spiritual battle against the church. But he says, in essence, it's against him personally. And then he says, take courage. He says, take courage. Why? What was the reason he needed this confidence? And he says, for this reason. He gives us the reason. Why does he suffer? Paul says in verse 11, he says, he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. So we see why he suffered. Paul suffered because he was a preacher of the gospel of Christ. He was an apostle and a leader in the church. And so he was a leader of all those who trust in Christ in Ephesus and in other cities and churches. And so instead of Caesar, he was a leader of those who would follow Christ. So he's battling on the front lines the enemy with the gospel of Christ. Yes, our enemy is against all those who follow Christ, but strategically he loves to attack their leaders, and so Paul is a target. You know, and as Paul proclaims the good news that Christ alone is the only way God could save sinners, and he boldly teaches all men are hopelessly enslaved to their sin and condemned to hell, he increasingly becomes a target. Paul increasingly becomes more out of step with his culture also. The Romans are not good with Christ as Lord alone, nor with submission to anyone other than Caesar and Rome. So Paul is currently rotting in a dark, putrid, slimy jail cell in Rome, awaiting his unjust execution because he is Christ and he preaches the good news of salvation. Paul's present ongoing hardship and suffering under evil is because of the gospel. Yet the injustice does not cause Paul self-pity or despair or regret or anger. Paul's reaction to this continual daily injustice and suffering is totally different. In spite of this, Paul expresses courage. Where does his courage come from? His courage comes from Christ. Paul is confident in Christ. That's why in verse 12 we see these words. He says, for this reason, he says, I'm not ashamed. He says he knows who he believes in. He said he is persuaded and he is committed. All these words describe confidence and courage. Paul says, the why, he says, because he is able. He is able. He's able to keep that which I've committed until that day. And so in spite of any challenge, any obstacle, any trial that we may face as we continue to preach and teach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, we can move forward in faith knowing that he is able. Again, Paul's locked up in this dark, damp prison, and yet he displays and expresses this confidence and courage that is found in Christ. No matter what our limits, no matter what our inabilities, he is able. No matter what's going on around us, he is able. And may we, like Paul is doing, may we follow also what he exhorts Timothy to do. In verse 13, he says, hold fast. In other words, stand strong, don't move. He says, the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith, which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Don't move course. Don't change direction. Stay focused. You could put it in some of those terms as well. But this is what that courage leads to. It leads us to the ability to continue forward in faith, preaching the gospel. That's our mission. You know, that's what pastors, missionaries, and every believer needs today. We need to stay focused in confidence and encourage in the one who is able. Like I said a few minutes ago, we are in a spiritual battle. One that's so much bigger and an enemy who is more powerful than we are. But praise the Lord, we serve a Savior who is all powerful. And we don't have to rely on our power. We don't have to rely on our abilities. He is able. So I wanted to leave you with that message from God's word. We'll just keep serving the Lord here in Iliamna and to the uttermost parts of Alaska. You know, as I think about reaching out to villages around us and continuing on here, and in the future and different things, it seems daunting, a daunting task ahead and a really tumultuous time. But praise God, he is able. Amen.
Thank you, First Baptist Church of Soap Lake.
Difficulty with the sound and everything, but the Clarks are just a really a precious family, and they're doing a good work up there for the Lord. I'm thankful for their faithfulness. We'll hear more about them tonight, and so I encourage you to come back to tonight. We can learn more about them. They have, that was Faith, that's their youngest, but they also have several other kids and need prayers, and they would appreciate prayers for them. I'm going to have Daniel come. We're going to sing a couple verses, the first and last of Take My Life and Let It Be. And I think that's really a good way to conclude this morning. because of, you know, of all the things that have happened and all the things that are going on, we could get really distracted. What am I supposed to do now? Do I build a bunker and put barrels of rice in it? Do I stock up on ammunition? You know, do I just put my head in the sand? Do I give up? What do I do? And once again, we come back and say, Lord, here's my life. Right? Isn't that what we said when we first trusted Christ? That we would be followers of Christ. That he would have all of us. And that's what this world needs more than anything else. It needs all of us. We need to give it to the Lord. So we can sing the song as a song of dedication. And I would really encourage you to encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be reminded of hope. We need to be reminded that God is on his throne. We sing that song, Behold Your God, Isaiah 40. Read it. And if a believer in Christ is struggling, go read them, Isaiah 40. And remind their hearts and souls of truth. So let's sing this last song. We'll stand, and then Daniel will close us in a word of prayer.